for a wide range of business activities, including retail, commercial, office, banks, restaurants, service industries, and athletic activities. Given this location, there is pressure for auto-related uses to become the dominant land uses. However, this would not be in the best interest of the township, as it would commit the township's valuable commercial property to a single group of uses that do not serve the broader uses of the community. And it was that thought that led the Township Council to pass an ordinance in 2001. It's Ordinance 739-01, which specifically took auto-related uses out of the ordinance. So I think there's a higher hurdle here to jump over than just it hasn't been one of the approved uses. It was actually explicitly excluded, and
that statement was from the 2000 master plan? Or you said you went back to
2000, and then it was repeated in 2006.
That statement appears again in
2006. I haven't read all the ones since then, but the zoning has not changed.
Okay.
Right.
In terms of the approved use of the property, that was an extremely light use. There was Bill Mateka and Eddie Mateka, and they were the people that worked there. That was it. It was essentially a machine shop that built race cars, and they had built the race car that set Mario Andretti on his career, being a race car driver. So they were good at it, but it was a very, very, very light use of the property. So I would not be comfortable in approving this as a separate, standalone use. I think it has some merit as being considered an expansion of the Novak Motors, if the applicants should achieve that possibility. But I'm opposed to it at the moment.
Okay. So I'll add to that. John said it very eloquently, and I'm glad he went before me. Because when we were talking about the negative criteria, the concern I continue to have is about the frequency and the ability to change the frequency. To me, it's too large an area that has the ability to have significant traffic coming in with the tractor trailers. If you increase the employees, and if you which would allow you to have a higher turnover of the vehicles on the site, that you would be able to have more tractor trailers coming in. So that's one negative piece that I'm concerned about. And the other piece was exactly what John was saying, because I was around when that came into being, that there were too many uses of auto dealerships, auto-related uses, and it has become the predominant, one of the predominant uses, and that's not a variety, which was specifically outlined in the master plan. So I'm leaning towards opposing it as well.
I would admit to having a few concerns about the expansion of the area in regards to automobile usage. I'm not as concerned about the traffic in there. I'm looking at that 100 vehicles. That's was that going to be 10 to 12 tractor trailers a month? What is that, 1 to 2 a week? And it's not been noticeable. Another retail space going in there I believe, would have equal to or possibly even greater truck traffic to the site for delivery. So that may be restricted to box trucks as opposed to tractor trailers or car carriers. The utilization of the space would be fantastic. And also the partnership with Novec Motors being next door would be great. The concern would be is doing a variance is are we setting ourselves up to having that as an auto row, which is not part of the master plan, as I understand it from my time on council. That was not our intent there. So a little bit concerned, but utilization of the space for the purposes that the applicant is stating, to me, is a positive. The fact that it's been going on unintentionally outside of what our directions are for well over a year and no one's noticed also has a little bit of weighting as far as the consideration that I would give to it. So I would not be completely opposed to approving this variance.
You'd be in favor of
it? I'd be in favor of it.
Cheryl?
I'm sorry, I'd be in favor of it myself. I had one question, though. It was mentioned earlier, a 30-day turnover. Was that, and you were talking about 100 cars, and you said something about 30 days. So as we talk about all of these trucks coming in and out, will that 30-day kind of dictate the frequency of these trucks coming in and out of the property?
I think the testimony was that in a month's time, the average number of cars on the property would be 100. I think when you talk about the frequency, I think Ms. Stevens got an indication that cars might be there 10 days to 2 weeks. So you could be talking a turnaround of twice in a month, if that helps you any. It's hard to pinpoint, although you did hear also that my client can look out into the future 3 years and say there's no spiking of this business. They know exactly what cars will be coming here and what won't. So I think to kind of answer your question, is it sounds like the turnover would be approximately twice a month.
Are you comfortable enough with the projections that you'd be okay with the condition on turnover?
Well, I think you're going to get to a question of enforceability. I mean, if that's what it comes down to, I think we'd be more than happy to accept it because we'd like to continue. We do hear your concern. I think John made a very good point even in the very beginning. If we had the ability to merge these, maybe we could get some greater flexibility. But, you know, at this juncture, we're only a tenant. There's a term to our lease. The Matakas, unfortunately, the last one just passed away, so hopefully within, maybe 6 months or a year, we'll be able to negotiate a purchase agreement.
Three turnovers of cars.
Okay, so the condition that they're asking about is no more than three turnovers of vehicles a month.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Now, how that would be enforced.
Yeah, I have no idea how enforcement works for that.
No more than three turnovers of vehicles a month.
Tom, my thoughts are that basically they're utilizing a facility kind of unique in a sense, leasing, return, inspection, not really expanding much in a way of, not expansion of anything in any way. If there's a link to Novec Motors to this leasing or fusion, and it's a possibility that once this leasing would move, is that use eliminated from this?
The conditions that I had from that was only inspection and photos of Fusion Auto Finance vehicles and Novec Motor vehicles, only registered vehicles, no third-party inventory whatsoever.
Sorry, can you repeat the first one?
Only inspection and photos for Fusion Auto Finance vehicles and Novec Motor vehicles. So the use variance runs of the land, but it's limited to those two.
And also we have a restricted area.
Yeah, I got the restricted area. I got all the rest.
Yeah. See, based on those conditions, I feel like if, it's not in fact an expansion of the next lot, it feels like
one. You already deliberated. We got to go with the rest.
Everybody?
So you're in the positive camp.
I would say I'm in the positive long as we have those restrictions.
And Shirley, you're in the positive camp?
Yes.
Okay. I, too, am going to vote in the positive. I'm really struggling with this one, and I'll tell you a couple things that I was thinking about. Number one, if this were not previously used related to auto, and it was related to, what was the horse place that was a couple doors down?
Oh, yeah, Kimberly's.
Anyway, Kimberly. Right, if it was Kimberly, you know, that's the way I would look at it. Forget about what was there because that was a non-permitted use. So would I accept it in that case? That was one of my considerations. The negative criteria I had no problem with. I think Dan correctly pointed out this has been going on for years. Nobody's known. No one's complaining about it. It's fine. It's minimal. In fact, and I have a number of other conditions, John, that you didn't list. But
okay.
I was struggling in the land use ordinance to find some use that didn't have the word auto in it. Like if you were photographing horses, you know, it would essentially be the same thing, but it would smell better, but it would be the same kind of application there, and then I wouldn't have the problem with auto. So I was struggling to find something in there. I couldn't. I think this just barely passes the hurdle on the positive criteria, and Beth, I think you did a great job there, but I wasn't buying the tax base, not seeing it, and the general welfare. I believe that's a bit of a stretch there. I think it helps Novak Motors. To the extent that it helps the general public, I think, to have some activity on the site to keep it from going into further repair is something that I would argue on the positive side. You didn't mention that. But the fact that there's people watching it and they're going to spot there's a building link, I think that contributes to the positive criteria. So I really struggled with this one, but I'm ready to vote in the positive.
Okay, but what are your additional conditions that I
have a list of them, and I'm sure you have some. Want me to read them off?
Okay. You want me to read mine or you want to read yours?
Let me read mine.
Okay.
Okay. Only vehicles owned by Novak Motors and Fusion. Inspection and photography only.
Okay.
Limit on the number of vehicles in the area that it's parked.
Yep.
No customers on site.
Yep.
No car repair on site.
Yep.
No sales on site. No additional lighting. No additional signs. No overnight activity.
Okay, I didn't have that. Let me add that.
You had
actually a limited to. He said it was 9 to 5.
Right.
Okay. Okay. I don't think I said anything other than what you guys are saying you're already doing, right? So
right.
I don't think I added any restrictions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was at 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, or 7 days a week.
Is that Monday through Friday? Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Okay, so, you know, I counted 5 to the affirmative, which would...
So one of the 5 of you should make a motion to grant the D1 use variance subject to all the conditions that have been mentioned this evening.
John, you had the turnover one, right? Because that was ran through your list.
No more than 3 turnovers of vehicle per month. I'll tell you what, let me quickly go over mine. Some of them are the same as Tom's. No use of lot 35 without prior approval. No new proposed improvements. No customers on site. No repairs, no service, no trucks or cars on lot 35, no change of sign unless and until apply for BOA, minor site plan approval, and any variances that may be necessary, maximum 125 vehicles on site at any one time, the vehicles to be parked only in the staging area, and then the condition on the bottom, which shall have 4 corner markers, 3 of them posts and 1 flush mounted, no third-party inventory, only inspection and photos of Fusion Auto Finance and Novak Motors vehicles, only registered vehicles, no lights, no customers, hours of operation 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday only. And then the no more than 3 turnovers of vehicles per month.
You have no lights? I believe they said no additional lighting because they thought I don't know.
No change in
lighting. We said no additional lighting. Yeah. There's a light on the building and 1 light stand.
And you're keeping those lights as
we have no plans on changing anything.
No additional lights. Those are the conditions I have.
The one thing that I think you might want to add is the change in the vegetation or the screening. You know, like, I don't think anybody's going to change it, but that should
okay,
be...
Okay, an obligation to maintain the vegetative screening.
Existing,
right? Maintain existing vegetative screening. Okay.
Okay. And as far as the question goes of enforcement for turnover,
we're not enough for us.
We don't have to worry about how it's going to be.
That's up to the zoning officer to figure out.
We are not an enforcement agent.
Right. Someone want to make a motion?
Make a motion.
So moved.
And a second, please.
Second. Can't hear you.
Tom Yeager, second.
Okay. Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Mattson?
No.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
No.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
Okay. It is granted on a 5-2 vote. You needed 5 affirmative votes to get it, and you got it.
Thank you all very much. Have a good evening.
Okay.
Great. Thank you for the extra time.
All right. Thank you. Why don't we take a 5-minute recess? Jackie, rest her hands, and we can let the next applicant get set up.
That was insane.
I don't think I've been doing this like 4 years. I don't think I've ever seen a split vote ever.
This is my first time.
I've seen only a couple over the years, but this is an interesting one.
Oh my gosh. All right.
Just
get this.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You ready, Denise?
No.
Okay, we're back on the record. Next up is DiSapio Real Estate Development. Applicants submitted a bifurcated application seeking to obtain a D1 use variance to permit tire repair and minor automobile repairs. If the D1 variance is granted, the applicant will then apply for preliminary and final site plan approval. Good evening.
Good evening. I thought of what you could have used instead of auto in your last resolution. Horseless carriage. That would have worked.
That might not have worked.
Anyway, my name is Alan Loker. I'm a lawyer up in Washington. I have not appeared before this board before. I have before Mr. Drill quite some time back, as he reminded me. And this application is for Block 70, Lot 12. It's 1734 North Route 31. It's in your C1 zone. Property is presently improved by the law offices that were formerly Don Morrow's law office, and it still continues as the Benbrook law office. And that building, their practice is contained in a two-story, 4,838 square-foot professional office building, and they have 28 parking spaces. The application that we've submitted is to request use variance approval, and if granted, site plan approval would be forthcoming, to retain the existing professional office building as it's being used, and to construct 2 new buildings. One is an approximately 6,114 square-foot commercial building intended to be used for tire sales and light automobile repairs. The end user has not been finalized yet, but I think we have enough information to present to the board that will help you come to a decision regarding that use. And the other building is a one-story, 3,200 square-foot office building. presently, there is no specific tenant identified for that building, but I believe from our expert, you will hear testimony that will allow you to make a decision, even without knowing the ultimate tenant for that property. And there are other typical improvements: stormwater detention basin, landscaping, and dumpster enclosure, 14-by-60-foot loading zone, and parking to accommodate 79 vehicles. The applicant does intend to connect the sanitary sewer, but because that has not, we have not gotten a will serve letter to permit that, we will demonstrate that the site can accommodate an on-site sewage disposal system. for the existing and the proposed improvements. And water is intended to be provided by the town of Clinton, and there is an easement in place to bring water to the site. So although the C1 zone does permit retail sales, and certainly tire sales is a retail activity, it doesn't permit this specific use, which is a combination of tire sales and light automotive repairs. Hence, we need the use variance relief. And as was pointed out by both of your board professionals, we also require a planning variance with respect to parking. The calculated parking demand is 99 spaces, and we are proposing 79 spaces. So I was not present back in January 28th, but I just want to confirm that the application was deemed complete, notice was reviewed and approved, and a public statement was given to members of the public that the public hearing would be continued to this date without further notice.
That's correct. It was, just for the record, the board engineering expert, Kathy Marcelli, is available by telephone. If there are any engineering questions, we will put her on speaker and make it part of the record.
Okay.
And this, when you said tire sales are permitted, tire sales would be permitted if you bought the tire and took it off the premises. But tire sales, if you're going to put the tire on the vehicle in the building, would not be permitted. You agree with that?
That's the combined use that triggers the variance.
Yeah, but I thought you said also auto repair.
Yes.
Okay. So it's, I just want to make it clear, in my opinion, it's tire sales, what they're proposing to do is put the tires on the vehicles, also requires the D1 variance, where obviously the auto repairs requires the D1 variance.
It's technically classified in the ordinance as a public garage, is the definition, which acknowledges those service features.
Okay, so in terms of an order of testimony, we have Jess Simons, who is a professional engineer. He's with Farrow Engineering in Chester. We have Marcus Rosenau, who's an architect with SSP Architect Group. We have Gary Dean, who is a professional engineer. His specialty is traffic. And we also have Anthony DeSapio, who is a representative of the developer of this proposed site. And last but not least, we have Elizabeth McManus, who you just heard from shortly before, who is our professional planner. Jonathan, do you swear everybody?
Yeah, I swear everyone in the beginning. And if we get Kathy on the phone, we'll swear her in once we get her on the phone. But could everyone please stand up? And then we're going to start over here. You're going to identify yourself, spell your last name, give your relationship to the applicant or the board, as the case may be.
Antonio DeSapio, DeSapio.
And you're the applicant.
Correct.
Jess Simons, SYMONDS, professional engineer.
Gary Dean, DEAN, professional engineer specializing in traffic.
Marcus Rosenau, ROSENAU, registered architect in New Jersey.
Elizabeth McManus, MCM, ANUS, applicant's planner.
Tom Behrens, BEHRENS, board planner.
Okay. Can everyone raise your right hands and direct your attention to the board stenographer?
Hey, we're going to start with Mr. Simons.
Just before you start, please, can I ask, is there anyone in the public that intends to speak on this application one way or the other? I see some people in the back, and they're all shaking their heads no, so there's no one intended to speak.
Yeah, everyone in the public is somehow connected with the applicant?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Okay. Great. Thanks.
Okay. We know who you are, but we need to know what you've done in your life to qualify you as an expert in the area of professional engineering.
My name is Jess Simons. I graduated in 1985.
Is it Jess or Jeff?
Jess, J-E-S-S.
Aha.
Thank you.
I graduated from NJIT with a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering. I worked for Biggs Engineering from 1975. to last year. I was sole principal of Biggs Engineering from 1990 to Biggs, B-I-G-G-S, Engineering. And from April to present, I have been working for Ferraro Engineering. I've appeared before the Clinton Township Planning Board three times in the past for major subdivisions back in the late 80s and the early 90s.
Okay. And you're here to testify just on the engineering aspects?
That's correct.
Okay. Any questions as to these qualifications? Seeing none? Okay. Proceed.
Okay. Now, one other important question with respect to your experience. What experience do you have dealing with tire sales, minor auto repairs, or uses similar thereto?
I've done site plans for several small garages. I've done, if you go north on 31, most of the dealerships in Washington Township, I've done the design of them, Smith Ford, Rossi Chevrolet. I've done those site plans.
And did you bring an exhibit with you?
Yes, I did.
Would you mark it, please, as A1?
Our board stenographer marks them, so if you bring the exhibit over to her, she will mark it with a tag. That one's the last after. You don't want this one, do you?
No.
Yeah, I think so. A1 and A2. Which, can you identify A1 for the record? You got to use the microphone for recording purposes.
A1 is the first sheet of the site plan that we submitted. Dated 8/21/18.
Is this the same plan that's in that all the boards
yes,
have?
Yeah, the first sheet is, yes.
Okay, but other sheets
are... The second sheet is the same, but it's been colorized.
Okay. We didn't have to mark the first one, but that's all right. It's easier just to keep it marked. And A2 is a color-rendered version of A1, is what you're saying.
No, this is sheet 2 of 2.
Okay, so A1 is the first sheet.
That's
A2
correct.
Is a color-rendered version of sheet 2.
With septic locations added.
Sir,
what's your
order? Jess, what's the latest revision date on that?
It is 11/8/18.
Okay, revision number 2.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Jess, why don't you go ahead and describe what your exhibits are, pointing out the buildings, improvements, existing and proposed.
Our first sheet shows our site. It's on Route 31 North between Halstead Street and Mary Ann's Corner. It's adjacent to the veterinary clinic, and the on the other side is the Hunterdon County Hunterdon Medical Center Health Center. It's approximately 3.1 acres. It's slightly constrained. We have an easement for a water line out in front of the site that was installed during the widening of Route 31. It's located in the C1 zone, and we're proposing 39.9% impervious and 10.7% floor area ratio. Allowable in the zone is 40% impervious and 15% floor area, maximum floor area ratio.
Before you go on, there's one thing I want to point out, that board planners memorandum on page 5 at the very bottom. He's asking for confirmation of the impervious coverage calculation.
Yes.
To demonstrate compliance.
The impervious area calculations were based on the constrained area of the lot, which is the area of the lot with reduced by the water finance.
Yeah, but do you have a calculation that you can give him to show that?
I think they're on the plan.
It's on the areas are on the plan, yes. The constrained area of the lot is on the first sheet, and the area of the impervious areas are on the second sheet. So it's a simple division.
Yeah. Thank you.
I continue.
The north side of the site is occupied by the existing office building. The parking for the office building is in front of it. We enter from Route 31.
And just point out, show where the existing office building is?
North side of the site, right here.
So the existing office building doesn't have a color on it?
No, that's correct.
Okay.
It's white. Existing driveway from Route 31 is going to remain the same. The entrance won't be changed. We're proposing two buildings. The front building, the green one in front, 3,200 square feet of office space. And the auto service building in the rear, 6,114 square feet. We're proposing the detention basin to be to the rear of the site.
And that's shown in blue?
That's shown in blue. And the two orange areas in the back are areas reserved for septic. Clinton Township Code requires a reserve area to be set aside. So that's why we've shown two squares. That's based on the flow for the entire site.
Okay. Now, those two red rectangles are not on the plans in the board file, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So my question is, Kathy, in her memo to the board dated January 22, 2019, on the bottom of page 2, under policy issues D2B, said, if the applicant is unsuccessful in obtaining approval from the Clinton Township Sewage Authority for connecting to their system, the proposed improvements and the existing site conditions may not support the installation of an additional on-site septic system. Accordingly, the applicant shall provide testimony to address this potential scenario. Specifically, the applicant shall submit a plan showing an enlarged septic system to support the proposed improvements to cover the scenario where the applicant is unable to obtain Clinton Township Sewage Authority approval. Is that what those two red rectangles show?
That's correct.
Okay, so that's going to – could you submit that to Kathy Marcelli by any chance?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so that's going to have to go to Kathy. Before, mm-hmm. Yeah, so did you consider whether those two areas you show can support the two buildings that are shown on Exhibit A2 in green and the existing?
These areas will support all three buildings, each of the areas. They're over 1,200 square feet each. We would yield probably close to 860 gallons a day in sewage at 1.33. With a safety factor, it leaves us with over 1,200 square feet of area for disposal bed.
The board's going to want to hear that from their engineer to see if she agrees.
No problem.
But okay, I get it.
Let me ask one. Perk tests on those sites?
No, we haven't.
Based on the aerial image, would there be any clearing of trees or vegetation to?
Yes, there would.
That?
Okay. You haven't done perk tests?
No. We intend to.
So how do you know that they can actually accommodate the amount of sewage that's going to be generated?
This building right here has been working 30 years on their septic.
I understand. But
same soil type.
Okay, so you're making an assumption that.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
I probably
good hypothesis.
Yeah, hypothesis. Okay. I would say I've probably designed between 5,000 and 10,000 septics, so I have a fair amount of expertise in that.
Put it this way: if this were a preliminary site plan application, which it's not, but if it were, the board couldn't grant preliminary site plan without them proving feasibility, not permittability.
And
it's a bifurcated D1 use variance, so I don't have any legal issue with it. They just might be, you know, wasting their time and money if he's wrong, but assuming he's right, okay.
That would apply to any use on this site, I believe. So, we're providing additional parking area. Part of the area will be in front of the office building. and part of the parking will be behind the office building. That's intended for use by that office. Again, parking in front of the existing building down along here is intended for the use of that office building. And the parking to the rear of the proposed automotive repair building is for cars that are taken out of the bays and waiting for the customers to come back. Basically, a light repair facility, turnover a maximum of 5 cars a day. The cars won't be sitting there for days on end. They don't do heavy repairs, these type of buildings. It's just they change the tires, they change the shocks, replace the battery. Again, light repairs where the car is basically in the bay for a couple hours. The customer picks the car up at the end of the day. Based on experience of these buildings, that again, you won't see more than 5 turnovers per bay per day.
How many bays?
There's 7 bays. One would be an alignment bay, which would not be used all the time, occasionally.
Sorry, it's 5 cars per bay per day?
Yes. So we're proposing basically 42 spaces, with 7 of them being the garage spaces inside. So 35 spaces outside. And again, you'd also have the customers wouldn't necessarily leave the car there all day. If they dropped it off at 8 o'clock, they may pick it up at noon, and they wouldn't need that space.
And you do or do not have a tenant for the office space?
We do not. Not at this point. We also will engage the services of a landscape architect when we would come in for the site plan, do the landscaping. We understand that we need to fairly heavily landscape. So that's pretty much.
Well, let's go back to the parking a little bit. Explain the intended use of the tire sales and light auto service and how that impacts the parking overall.
Again,
how do we justify 79 spaces versus 99?
That's the turnover of the 5 cars per bay per day. So that would require 35 spaces.
And then what about the spaces allocated to the existing professional office building?
Again, we conform to those. We've provided enough spaces for the office space. It's just the space for the auto repair that we're deviating from.
So can you break it down? How many spaces are required for the office space?
Okay, there's a total of 8,038 square feet of professional office. At 4.5 spaces per 1,000 square feet, that would require 37 spaces. Under your ordinance, 6114 square feet of a public garage at 1 space per 100 square feet. It would be 62 spaces.
How many spaces?
62.
62 spaces.
We're providing 37 office spaces and a total of 42 garage spaces, okay, with 7 spaces being bays.
Right. So, and the reason that you're providing 42 instead of 62 spaces is purely on the calculation of the turnover of vehicles for the bays.
That's correct. But if you look at, you'll see the architect's plan also. In a tire sales place, more than half the area of the building is used basically for tire storage. Again, you'll see his plan a little bit later. The front of the building is the bays. The rear is basically storage of tires and parts. So that's 6,100 square feet, where we're only using half of it basically for auto repair. The rest is for storage of product.
Are you going to have someone that's going to testify about that parking variance, or are you testifying about the parking variance?
We also have a traffic.
I know you have a traffic engineer.
No,
is he going to be testifying about the parking variance? Okay, he's got it? Okay.
What type of trucks will be entering this site?
They will get tractor-trailer deliveries, but seldom. Again, the tractor-trailer deliveries will basically be just for the tires, two or three times a month. I'm sure they'd like it every week, but probably 2 or 3 times a month they'll get a tractor-trailer load of tires. And smaller parts, We'll come in vans or short box trucks. That would be batteries, shocks, more. They don't do engine repair or any major repairs.
Where will the trucks pull in and turn around?
The trucks can enter here and come all the way around the site. All these lanes are very wide back here. We're 28 feet. It's 36 feet in here. The loading zone's all the way in the back behind them. Again, as for site plan approval, we'd have to put turning templates on here for tractor trailers.
Right, but for negative criterion purposes, they could ask for the turning templates for the use variance, but we'll see if they're interested or not.
Okay.
Have you seen the fire inspector's letter? One comment was to remove the dumpster away from the building. Is that something that can be accommodated? Or do you
we can accommodate that, yes.
Have you seen his letter? Can you just run through his?
I believe I did see it at some point, yes.
Yeah, do you want to go through it now, or do you want to do it after you finish your presentation?
I think it applies more to site plan issues than it does to
on a bifurcated D variance, the board can consider as part of the negative criterion site plan issues without requiring. The board could require you submit a site plan also, but it's not. But knowing this board, they're going to want to have these issues addressed as part of the negative criterion.
Did we got one from Mike Wright?
Take one.
Here, you want a copy? Yeah, this is not Mike Wright. This is the Bureau of Fire Safety. Here.
Okay, we did not get that letter, no.
I don't have that in my file.
You can ask him to. All right, well, there are five comments, so why don't you have him read each comment out loud and then respond to it.
That B1?
It's in the board file.
Okay.
First one is dumpster shall be separate from the building with a minimum of 5 feet as per international fire code. I think we can accommodate that. Install rapid key access box for the fire department, non-destructive entry on location specified by the fire marshal. Location to be determined after the structure is built. We can accommodate that.
Okay.
Fire lanes shall be marked and have signs. No parking. Fire lane along the south parking lot access road. Fire lane shall be placed adjacent to the parking spots across from the proposed office building, and a fire lane near the front entrance of the tire center. This will assist preventing vehicles or other obstruction being parked to enable fire apparatus. I think we can accommodate that also.
You just got to speak up a little louder when you're going through these items. Item four.
Exterior tire storage will be used.
If exterior.
That's not our intent. The tire storage will be contained within the building.
All right, so I'm going to. So tire storage, no exterior tire storage, then, is the condition that you're proposing?
That's not our intent. That's correct.
Well, not the intent. I'm asking.
Well, we don't have a client for the building, so I would say that could be a condition, yes.
Okay.
Add a hydrant on or near the premises to meet water supply requirements for new construction. We can supply that as long as the water company will provide it. Provide the tap, anyway. I'm assuming they only have constraints on water usage, not fire
correct.
Protection. So
correct.
Yes, we will provide that.
Okay. All right. Can I have that back?
Yeah.
No, here you go.
How many employees for the tire store?
There would be 4, 5, or 6 mechanics and one manager. That's typical.
But there's not a firm identified for that right now.
No, there's not.
Just with the report you just read from the fire marshal, is any of these include widening of an aisle in any way that you see? I didn't understand this fire lane. He's talking about subtly line.
I think
widening anything or moving the dumpster?
Well, yeah, we are going to have to move the dumpster.
Okay, but what about widening the pavement anyway?
I think we're just going to have to take certain lanes and designate them as fire lanes where you just can't park. I don't think they have to be a separate lane from a normal access lane. It just has to be marked so there's no one parks or stands there, basically.
Well, yeah, I don't understand. My thoughts are if some of this is widening, is this going to be pavement in FAR
yeah.
to create a problem.
I mean, again, this is 36 feet between the front of the building and these parking spaces. We made that extra wide in front of the building because they will be moving in and out, moving the cars in and out of the bays. So we've left a fair amount of extra room there.
Yeah, did you look at the – Harry, I got to give this back to you. Look at the end of his comment in number four.
Well,
it said – but that's if exterior tire storage. So they agreed no exterior tire storage. No problem.
Sir, could you tell me again? You may have said this. Where's the existing septic?
It's right here, in front of the existing office building. That's where we think it is. Anywhere. This is the septic tank right here.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Is that being abandoned as part of this?
We would probably have it tested. If it's going to function, we would probably leave it.
I'm only asking because you said that the two septic
tanks. That's correct. As a safety factor, yes, we've shown enough area to replace the septic if needs be.
Okay.
Replace it, meaning not replace the one at the front end that's in current use, but replace it by adding a different...
That's correct.
The township occasionally does grant waivers, design waivers, from parking requirements, but the usual practice is to have the applicant show... but not pay enough parking to meet the total requirement.
I think they're applying for a C parking variance. They're not looking to have unpaved spaces. They're looking for a C parking variance, and they said, if I got this right, that their traffic expert is going to be testifying in support of a parking space variance. They're looking for a deviation for 20 spaces.
Yeah, okay, and we do that. And what I'm saying is the usual requirement is that the township would grant what your expert testifies to for the particular application, but you have to have some additional space back in case anybody else should eventually use that same building for other purposes if there would be enough parking to support that new use.
That might be a condition. If we grant to see variance, we might come back.
Right, there's a banking provision in the ordinance that they are specifically not looking to do. They are specifically... Some people ask for banked parking. They are not. They're not asking for an exception... Okay. Under the bank parking provision. They're asking for a straight-on variance.
All right. I understand.
Yep.
I understand.
I'm done, I think, Alan.
Do you have any questions by your board planner that we haven't addressed?
Just looking at the township's community design guidelines, and I believe it refers to this area as the Route 31 North Campus.
Yes, I believe
so. And some of the design guidelines pertain to ideally having the parking not in the front yard, essentially, or having a certain setback or buffered. What's the distance of the parking to the front property line in this case? It's like about 40-something feet.
96.
So his question is, how does the parking comply or not comply with the Route 31 North Campus non-residential design guidelines?
This line right here is a front yard setback right ahead, about 2 feet in front of the parking area. So the parking area is set back approximately 42 feet from the Route 31 right away.
Are they looking for just the D variance today? Or are you looking for the C variance for parking today as well?
They're looking for the D variance.
I understand you're talking about for the negative criteria. But
correct. My understanding is they only are applying for tonight. It's only the D1 variance. You didn't apply for the C parking variance, or is that in your notice?
No, it's not in the notice.
Right.
Okay.
But when the board does a bifurcated D variance, you generally find out what other things will they be looking for at site plan. Because if you don't ask now, if you grant it and they come back in for site plan, they're going to say, oh, but, you know,
the plan showed that we didn't have that number of parking. So that's why Tom was asking about the parking, and that's why he's also asking about compliance or non-compliance with the non-residential community design guideline.
Hey, John, just a question about that. We're not voting on anything related to a plan or site plan. If we just vote on a D variance, as per David's question, I mean, if we come back and say, well, now that I take a closer look, and we get to site plan, now that I take a closer look, I'm not comfortable with that. That would be fair game at site plan review. Is that correct?
Absolutely fair game.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, the applicant will argue. So if you're, my suggestion would be if it comes to pass by the end of this proceeding that the board is going to grant this bifurcated D1 variance, then you should put in there specifically that you're not approving this plan.
Yes. Okay. All right, good enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, my concern was the other way. My concern was that without a site plan, you know, we could come back to site plan review and now they've got an actual tenant and suddenly the building has grown or something like that. And well, everything we've discussed regarding the parking is out the window because it's a different site plan altogether.
But the board doesn't have to grant exactly what the applicant is seeking. So the applicant is seeking a bifurcated D1 variance. Obviously, what their preference would be is not only you grant it, but you grant it and you lock them into the square footage that they're showing. You might say that you're looking at the plan, and based on that square footage, they don't comply with all the parking spaces. They're not complying with the design guidelines, so you might either say, well, because of that, we're going to deny it unless you show us a different plan, or you might say, we're going to grant it, but we're telling you right now, it's not that plan, and when you come back, for example, when you got... Two of you had to recuse yourselves from the doctor is in.
Mm-hmm.
But the other people who voted on the doctor is in, that was a bifurcated D1 variance. In that resolution, you told the applicant, listen, we can't prevent you from applying for variances or exceptions, but we're telling you right now, as part of our consideration of the negative criterion of the D1 variance, we're going to be very, very tough to convince us to grant landscape buffering exceptions or parking variances, and you put it in the resolution, so you're giving them a heads up and you're making it less likely that they have a decent argument to say that they relied on something you did in granting the D1 variance.
Okay,
we're
not voting on number of parking spaces tonight. We're not voting on the C variance. That was your question right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as long as we agree with what they want in spirit, we don't have to worry so much about the actual details of it, if we agree
with
spirit.
Well, correct, but that's up to you is what I'm saying, okay? Because...
Right, I'm just saying we don't have to.
You don't have to.
Not that we can't.
Okay.
Because the board has the under case law, even though Section 76B of the MLUL gives the applicant the right to elect to bifurcate, there are three appellate division cases. And the cases say the board has the implicit authority to determine whether, in fact, to permit a bifurcation of a D variance. The case law says that if you think site plan issues are so interrelated with the D1 variance, you could actually say to them, you know what, we don't feel comfortable granting a D variance not tied to at least a conceptual plan. Submit one. And by the way, submit one that shows compliance. So here's what John Mattson was talking about before with this banking of parking. You could say, show us if we granted the D1 variance, give us an exhibit of what a compliant plan would look like when it complies with all the bulk requirements and all the site plan requirements, and give us a plan of what you guys have in mind so we can see the differences. I'm not saying there's no right way, but you have the full...
Those are options.
Yeah. Full options.
Yeah. Okay.
And you guys have to decide how you want to treat the bifurcated D application. That's all I'm saying.
Are there any other questions for this witness?
Just for the record, the first appellate division case is Scholastic Bus Company versus Fairlawn Zoning Board of Adjustment, which is reported at 326... NJ Super 49, it's an appellate division case from 1999. And then there are two others after that.
Okay. So are you finished?
Only I think we meet the criteria for the northern 31 corridor. We're not parking in the front yard, and actually we don't have any parking for another additional 24 feet.
In front of the building. Yeah, just the design guidelines say front of the building, not in the front yard. The design guidelines suggest there's no parking in the front of the building, period.
Raise the question for the points that John brought up to the extent that, you know, to what extent is the site plan related to the use? And that's why I brought it up. So we don't need to continue,
right.
But.
I think I'm done.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, just for the record, the design guidelines are set forth at Ordinance Section 165-75. And then depending on which corridor you're in, it gives you the guidelines that would apply at the time of site plan. Now, was that part of the file?
Yes.
Okay, there's no need to mark. If it's part of the file, there's no need to mark it as an exhibit.
Marcus, good evening, everyone.
Give the board the benefit of your education and professional experience and
sure.
testimony before other boards.
Yep. Graduated in 1994 from Ball State University with a Bachelor of Architecture degree. Yes, it was that long ago. It's hard to tell, I know. But licensed in the state of New Jersey in 1998 and been practicing with SSP Architecture with SSP Architects for 23 years, now a principal with the firm. Been designing for the firm, you know, similar type facilities for STS, Mavis, you know, auto repair facilities. Personally have done probably 12 to 15 of them. The firm for those companies has done probably 40 of them at least over the years. And here tonight to testify on the architecture on the building design and features.
Have you testified before public board?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I have a number of times. Somerville, Bridgewater, Raritan, Tom's River, you know, Washington Township. Yep.
Raritan Borough, not Raritan Township, right?
Raritan Borough, correct.
Somerset County. Him in Raritan Township. I don't know if he's in Raritan Borough, but if he said Raritan Township.
Raritan Borough in Somerset County, correct.
Okay. And you're here just to testify on the architecture, correct?
Correct.
So I have any questions as to his qualifications? There are none. Okay, please proceed.
Okay.
You accept his qualifications?
I don't. Sorry. I accept the qualifications.
So the first image on the board is a copy of A1, which is the floor plan and elevations for the auto repair center. Basically, as was testified earlier, we have seven bays, one of which is an alignment bay. Probably the back half of that whole section of the plan is tire storage, parts storage, tool storage, and et cetera. And then there's a very small section off to the left-hand side of the plan, which is basically the showroom, waiting area, restrooms, locker rooms, and kind of support areas for the facility. Along the west side of the building, which would be facing Route 31, you have the seven bays, basically brick facade on the lower section, and the top area is would be a white EIFS kind of stucco material. The idea being more of an all-white facade that is streamlined and kind of represents the auto repair facility. Second page is a copy of our A2, which is the floor plan and elevations for the one-story office building. Right now, again, as we testified, no planned tenant. The idea is to try to get one tenant, but there is the possibility that it could be two separate tenants. But here we have a facade that faces more directly on Route 31. That would be more along the lines of that kind of rural, kind of classic historic kind of feel that you're going for in your standards, where you have the red brick windows, you know, kind of white framed windows, shingle roof, et cetera. Then we have a copy of the ground level view of the building as you come up 31. So 31 is heading north on the left-hand side of the page, and you can see the single-story office building, and you see a little bit of the existing building in the background there, and you can see, you know, everything else is would be screened with landscaping.
And then the last sheet is more of an aerial view, kind of an isometric view of the two buildings, the entire kind of campus, if you will, of the proposed buildings.
Go back and discuss the height of the proposed office building that fronts on Route 31 relative to the height of the proposed tire sales.
Right. So the office building is proposed to be about 19 feet high to the ridge line, you know, the height of the roof. The tire facility, the auto repair facility, is proposed to be about 23 feet total to the top part of this. And a lot of that's dictated by, you know, the height that you need to get cars up on the lift, you know, the structure, the slope of the roof, you know, as it comes down. And, you know, this is a kind of a model or prototype that we've used to make sure that, hey, we have all the clearances that we need. And that ends up being about 22 feet. So it is a little higher than the building, you know, the office building. But we feel between the landscaping and the screening and the line of sight that you actually get, you know, as you're kind of on 31 driving by, the lower building actually would still screen it because, you know, you kind of lose the sight of it with the height of the building.
Point out on your plan there, which are the two ends of the building that you're saying would be screened by the...
You can't hear you. Can you speak either a little louder or pull that table mic closer to you?
Point out on your plan the two ends of the building that would be seen traveling north or south on 31, and describe again how would they be screened by the proposed commercial building.
So coming north on Route 31, you would end up seeing this elevation, which is marked as number 4, the right side elevation. All brick and stucco on that facade, and that would be proposed to be screened by landscaping along that wall. In addition, you have the existing building that is south of it. I think I heard somebody say it's a vet, whatever that building is, immediately to the south, would also help screen that facade. Coming south, you would actually see this facade, which has the showroom end of it. That would be open to the parking lot, but, you know, would be screened by some of the landscaping that is along the road now. I'm just going to reference Jess's plan, if I may.
A2.
Just referencing A2. You know, this end of the auto repair facility would actually be screened by the existing building and some of the landscaping that exists out here now. So we feel that, you know, that between the office building, the new proposed office building, the existing building to the south, and landscaping, that repair facility would be fairly well screened.
And the garage bays are not visible from Route 31 traffic.
Not with the office building there, correct. Were there other items I need to address? Okay.
Had there been any consideration of making the auto repair facility architecturally conformal with the two office uses on the site?
The thing that we've done for something like that in the past, you know, because it does come up from time to time, is to treat the top band instead of a flat panel wall, actually kind of create a bit of a mansard, so kind of kick it out with a little bit of a slope and put shingles on it or a metal roof on it. That kind of mimics kind of a residential kind of roof, right? And then also changing it, we've also done it with a red brick. Right now we've proposed it as more of a white kind of tan brick, but we have done it in a red brick with that slightly sloped roof, that mansard, to create that kind of style. Yes.
So there actually are character standards for the Route 31 North Campus District, things like slope roofs, the pitch of the roof, the material of the roof, the building scale, rhythm, and other stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Is the intent to ask for variances for that later, or waivers for that later, or are you planning on changing the look and feel to conform?
So our preference would be to keep this style building because we feel it's being screened elsewhere. If I don't know in terms of the actual variance procedure and strategy for that.
That's a site plan requirement in section 165-75, and this is the Route 31
North Campus,
North Campus District. So this is Section 165-75, F as in Frank, and any deviation from there would require an exception, a site plan exception at the time of site plan approval, but again, it goes to the negative criterion in terms of aesthetics. So it's a valid question. So his question is,
would we be willing to revise the plan to meet the standards?
Right.
Yes, we would.
Could you do that? I'm sorry. Yeah. Did you mind?
No, I was just going to mention also that one of the big ones in there is that the building scale and rhythm is supposed to kind of match with neighboring buildings. So you're proposing two different neighboring buildings that are completely different looking.
Right, and it's hard to kind of change the style and rhythm of this given, you know, the bays of the building and things like that.
Could you do a pitched roof, for instance? And then does that lead to a height variance?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ones we've done where we actually pitch the roof end up being closer to 30 feet at times.
Let me just jump in with something. I think Marcus is being very generous because we don't know who the end user could be. And it would be premature for us to say we can revise it any way you like, because that may not suit the end user's corporate model. That truly would be a site plan issue, I would think.
Now, again, it's absolutely a site plan issue, but it can be a negative criterion issue for the D1 variance if the board believes that aesthetically it's important to them. That's up to the board.
The question would be, is it possible to have a complying design? If the board granted the variance, we don't know. We'll have to hear that later. If you do that, is it possible to have a complying design, or are you saying there's no way that can happen?
I would say it's fair to say we really haven't explored that option.
Yeah, but he's not asking you. He's asking this witness. He's saying, if the board wanted, can it be designed to comply, or is it physically impossible to comply?
We can comply with the materials and the style. The one thing that I'm a little worried about is the rhythm and scale.
Was just what I brought up. And I'm not testifying, but I just kind of ran through some of the standards, and I didn't find any that you actually do comply with.
Okay.
It's just like 35 different things you'd need exceptions for.
So in towns where we have had similar kind of restrictions or requests or guidelines, we have done, as I mentioned, change the brick to a red brick, have even a kind of a ground-faced block where it reads a little bit more as stone. We have put sloped roofs on them.
Right, but with all due respect, that's not the question.
Yeah.
The question is the only way to implement this, so if we give you D variance, you say, I can live with a D variance, but if I do this, I can't comply with the rest of the ordinances, or is it parts and parcel? The only way you can put this in is if we give you some number. I don't know if it's 1 or 35 or more. We'd have to dig into that. But I think that's an important question. If you're saying, hey, you can do the use, but there's lots of other things we can't do.
Yeah, I would have to go through the exact list myself again. But I think that the majority of those items we could comply with, yes. I'm trying to answer your question.
Yeah, I'm looking for a yes or no. It either complies or you need exceptions. And I don't think...
Then I'm going to say that we will probably need some exceptions.
Oh, great. That was the answer. That was an answer. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yep.
Is there... I know the intent now is to screen the garage building with the office building.
Yep.
Hypothetically, if you were granted the use variance, is there any scenario where you come in with a plan that does not include that office building?
Oh, that's interesting.
Interesting.
I think that's less than an architectural question as much as somebody else. I mean, as the architect, as the architect, I'm not the one developing the site. I can respond to the design questions, but
I can tell you, sitting here listening to everything, while I don't have problems with specific things in spirit, the fact that without seeing specific designs that are being committed to, I'm having a hard time thinking that we'll give a D variance for the idea of higher, knowing that theoretically you could come back with a site plan that replaces the office building with tire, and tire everywhere. I know that's not your intent. I'm just saying this also runs with the land, not with your particular thing that you want to do.
So what is the specific question?
Well, he already answered it. He's giving you the benefit of his thought process right now, which was basically, as I understood it, that he's going to have a big problem granting a D1 use variance unless it's locked down on what the thing's going to look like in the end. That's what he's telling you.
Both buildings.
Right. Yeah. Because part of your testimony was that part of the buffering or screening of the back building was the front building.
Is that first building, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Any other questions? Comments?
Let me not to keep you up here any longer. Your first rendering that you have.
Yes.
With some nice buffering. Is that
actually that's not even an exhibit yet. So if you want to make
that's,
that an
that's ex- not an exhibit?
I think no. They submitted that.
I think we had 11x17.
So that okay. That's a demonstrative exhibit. We don't have to mark it because that's one of the smaller ones.
Yeah. Okay. We have that.
Yeah, we tried to reflect what was on the site plan in terms of plans, landscaping. I mean, the civil engineer testified that we would have to get a landscape architect on board to do the final design as part of the site plan. But.
On the right-hand side of the drawing, you show some pretty mature trees, and I know there's a hedge that is shown on the aerial, and if you drive by, is that what it looks like today, or is that an enhanced version of the screen?
We probably added to that a little bit from what's existing, yeah.
So, theoretically, whatever you plant might take some time to grow to look like that.
Oh, this one? Yes. Oh, yeah, actually, just looking at it, that, a lot of it's actually there. Yeah.
I acknowledge there is some there, so it's really a question more than anything.
What kind of tree is
Yeah, just looking at the aerial photograph. I'm going to say that that's mostly there now.
Okay, so just for the record, I want to make sure there are three color rendered to either photographs and or drawings, each one of them dated January 4, 2019. Are these the three? That everyone has these in their files.
Yes. These are the two that are part of the board.
Okay. And this one's part of the file, but not on the board. Okay.
Where those pictures say American Tire and Auto Care, that's kind of a generic.
To be honest, when we started this project, they were a potential tenant, but that is not the case at this point. They have not confirmed. Any others?
Thank you.
Mr. Dean?
Great. This is Gary Dean, professional engineer, and would you please give us your educational, professional experience, and in particular, experience with tire sales and minor automobile repair facilities.
Certainly. Gary Dean, principal of Dolan and Dean Consulting Engineers in Somerville. We are a civil engineering firm that specializes exclusively in the area of traffic engineering and municipal consulting for traffic-related matters. I've appeared before this board as well as the planning board for many decades now. I can't recall my last appearance, but one of the applications you mentioned this evening, and it may have been, was it Steve Califer's, the Sonic lot, or was that in Lebanon?
That was in Lebanon.
Lebanon. But I regularly appear before zoning and planning boards throughout the state and have been qualified in before roughly 350 different municipalities. I've also represented STS, which ultimately was acquired by Mavis. That was also a considered tenant for the building at some point during the project inception. And having represented STS, I've reviewed their traffic characteristics, parking concerns, delivery frequency, But also on a personal matter, my family owns a chain of automobile repair facilities in Maine, and they have 8 stores that are virtually identical to the subject application that is before you. So I have, I'd say, firsthand experience with the business operations of this particular use.
And you have a degree in
civil engineering, Mr. Chairman, and I'm a licensed professional engineer in New Jersey as well as 7 other states in the Northeast.
Okay, and I note that you appeared before us only for Village Green. It's the only one that I see.
Over 25 years, I've lost track myself, so okay. I apologize for that.
The last 15 that I've been here, that's the only one, but okay. Any questions as to his qualification?
Nope.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Did you prepare a traffic impact statement?
Just a quickie. Your family's not considering...
Absolutely not. That's correct.
Just wanted to make sure.
They're sticking to Maine. They're very happy.
All right.
Did you prepare a traffic impact statement that was part of the application?
Yes, I did.
And what were your findings?
I'll try to be as succinct and to the point as possible. The subject property is located in the C1 commercial district, where, as you've heard throughout this presentation, the use of an automobile repair facility or a public garage is not permitted. And in this particular aspect of the application, I felt it was appropriate in my role to basically evaluate the traffic we would expect with a permitted use in this zone, with the type of traffic we would expect from the proposed application for an automobile service center, along with the office building. I'm really not going to focus on the office building only because that is permitted in the zone. So where we have the deviation relates to the 6,100 square foot service operation. Your C1 district permits, I would say, a wide variety of typical highway commercial uses, including retail sales establishments, specialty food stores and delicatessens, think of Quick Check, Krausers, and that ilk, supermarkets, clothing stores, liquor stores, among many other retail uses. And then the zone also permits barber and beauty shops, optical services, appliance repair, and health clubs. In addition, the district permits banks, restaurants, cafes, medical office, and, of course, general professional office use. Oh, and a daycare center. So when we have a use that doesn't fit in the zone, from a traffic engineer's perspective, we like to compare, because the planning board and governing body, when adopting your zone plan, anticipated a certain type of traffic to be appropriate in the zone, and that would, in this case, exit out onto Route 31. So what traffic engineers do, we rely on actual studies of similar uses that have been compiled by the Institute of Transportation Engineers. That's the International Professional Organization of Traffic Engineers and Transportation Planners. And they publish their data in a fairly extensive book, and I think it's up to probably 280 different land uses, one of which is called a tire and service store for automobiles. And in that land
number
use,
that is the tire and service.
I do, and I've appended to our report. It is 848, Mr. Drill.
Thank you.
Appended to our November 29th report are the actual ITE trip generation summaries. They contain all of the data that served as the basis for my conclusion. And on table 1 in our report, which is on page 6, I've essentially shown a comparison of, I think it's 5 different, 5 different land uses, all of which are permitted in the C1 zone, and the associated traffic, and then I've compared each one of those uses in the exact same size building that is proposed at 6,114 square feet with the traffic expected with a tire and service store.
And you have the backups all a clip to your report.
Correct. So the table summarizes each of those backups, but with the exception of morning peak hour for a shopping center, and who knows who's in that shopping center and whether they be open. In all other cases, the tire and service store that is proposed generates substantially less traffic than any one of those permitted uses in your C1 zone. So as we look at a spectrum of uses and we consider as planners the types of things that generate traffic, and in many times under a planning or zoning review, we seek uses that actually generate less traffic. Why? It's New Jersey. There's just an inherent focus on traffic, traffic, traffic. And in my role of evaluating these land uses, I certainly would endorse and submit that in the context of planning, promoting a land use that generates very low traffic advances one of the stated purposes of zoning. And you'll hear from our planner as to which reason that is. But here you have an opportunity to consider a commercially zoned and a commercial use on a piece of property where virtually everything else articulated in the C1 zone would be far more traffic intensive than the proposed operation. And by that I mean a convenience store, by way of example, would generate 300 trips in 1 hour, 150 in and 150 out. And that's certainly the size of a Quick Check, Wawa, large size convenience store. This application for the proposed auto service would generate 24. That's it. 24 trips over an hour, which is basically one every 2 or 3 minutes. So it has a very, very low impact. A bank would generate 125. So these uses, and even a restaurant, would generate close to three times the volume of traffic that this use would. And the principal reason is, even though it's considered retail because of the sale of parts and tires, because of the service component, its very nature dictates extremely low traffic activity. And that activity consists of basically employees coming in the morning, and then a few customers do elect to wait with their vehicles if the repair is short, be it a tire change or an oil change, something of that nature. And then there's the other group where the repair may be more extensive, where they elect to drop off a car. So that actually winds up being three trips for one service appointment. And in traffic world, it's two cars come in, one car is dropped off, and then one car leaves. So that's how low a traffic generator it is. And in a use where the, by and large, the services are made by appointment, it assures a very uniform distribution of traffic throughout the day. So as I look at this particular application from a traffic perspective, I think it does advance that purpose of zoning, and certainly represents a unique opportunity that we seldom see from a traffic engineer's perspective to have a use that generates less traffic than is otherwise permitted in the zone. In terms of parking, and I know Mr. Drill had focused on that, your ordinance has a rather unusual requirement of one space for every 100 square feet, and that is for the generic term of public garage. So there's a requirement of 62 spaces. I would say the typical STS, Mavis, American Tire, and their and now I'm drawing from some of my own personal experience, the standard is about 25 or 30 parking spaces for a 6,000 square foot building. And the part of the reason is some of the customers wait, so they don't need the parking because the car is in the bay, but others who drop off and retrieve their car later need that parking. I would say even putting in 31 spaces would be far and above the typical supply, and I draw a little comparison because I believe it was this board for the Dunkin' Donuts right across the street at Halstead Street and Route 31. And I don't remember whether it's here or the planning board, but we spent literally 8 hearings debating parking for a site that included not only automobile repair but a Dunkin', and that had 23 spaces, which is proven to be more than sufficient for that site. So I'm confident that the 42 spaces that have been proposed are probably 25% more than the site even needs. And again, the notion of banking parking and green spacing, I find, is appropriate planning. Overpaving a site for unnecessary parking, to me, is somewhat irresponsible from a zoning perspective, in that we just wind up with blacktop that no one uses, and it just contributes to runoff and heat sink. So we do look to the individual user as to what their needs would be, but I would say consistent with the ilk of this type of operation, whether it's Mavis, STS, and the like, far less than 42 spaces would be adequate for this operation. So in terms of overall feasibility and does it fit on the plan, in my opinion, from a traffic engineer's perspective, it does meet that criteria. Obviously, you'll consider from other witnesses, but I do believe it's appropriately sized for all of the components, including the office building. And that's all I have on direct testimony, Mr. Loca. And I will say we continue to share the driveway among all three uses on the site. There would be at least intended no improvements to the Route 31 access, in that it's operated safely and efficiently for the years that I've known the existing office used to be on the site, with good sight lines and certainly up and downstream traffic metering from the signal at Halstead Street.
Questions for Mr. Dean?
With the testimony that you have entering the site, maneuvering around the site, I would assume that you have not applied templates to check to see whether our aisles and turns are going to be adequate.
I have, as a matter of fact, and I'm confident that given the size of the trucks that would arrive, and these are not 53-foot trailers with sleeper cabs on it, if a tractor trailer were to come in the site, which I wouldn't envision, it does have the means to circulate, and we principally do that test to make sure fire apparatus can get through. But the standard delivery to the tire stores are box trucks, where the tires are laced in the back and they pull out the supply that's needed, and then the truck goes to the next store to drop off theirs. Sometimes they come in via UPS, but I've not seen a tractor trailer. That being said, the site is designed to accommodate it.
And then the I wouldn't even call it a D-cell lane going in, because you do have a wider shoulder.
Correct.
That's about a 12-foot wide shoulder.
It's a very wide shoulder, yes.
And then the same way exiting.
Correct.
So the box trucks or these delivery vans that you're referring to would be able to go out onto Route 31, not interfere with other traffic.
Correct. Identical, albeit with a different size truck and purpose, to the Speedway and Valero, where they have wide shoulders and they're getting tanker deliveries on a daily basis. So, yes, that shoulder and its design could accommodate all vehicle types, we would expect.
And then with the total traffic, not only your tire center, but also the office buildings here, any difficulties? Any backing up with the, we'll call it, the peak hours of coming and going with any of the other offices? Yours seem to be very low, but the office buildings, I know the one, the new one, you're not sure it's going to even be there, but could there be any kind of conflict at the intersection?
At the driveway, you mean?
Yes.
We did look at creating multiple driveways on the highway, and there are a couple of, I'll say, obstacles to that. One, and I think it's articulated in your planner's report, it talks about the desire for shared access, because each potential driveway to a public street represents a point of conflict between converging traffic entering and exiting. So to the extent there are as few driveways as possible, that represents the safest design in terms of highway. Where we start to have a need for multiple driveways is on extremely busy sites. And by that I mean ShopRite, you know, a Wegmans, a store that generates literally hundreds of vehicles per hour does benefit from multiple driveways. Now, on a divided highway, separate ins and outs like the gas stations have work. But for other uses that are much lower in traffic, say the Acura dealership, I mean, all these other uses – exist very well with a single driveway. And I, given the low traffic activity, I would continue to advocate for a single driveway as being the safest design for the development on this site.
And at site plan, it would be analyzed whether or not that driveway would have to be increased in width in some way?
It doesn't need to be increased in width, and again, we are subject to state DOT standards, and it was designed to accommodate commercial activity on the site. I don't know the history if other things were anticipated on the undeveloped portion of the site, but for a very low-volume use, such as an office, where people don't all leave at once. People leave at, you know, some leave at 5, some are out at 4:30, a traditional employment-based use. There's a much slower discharge of traffic, so I wouldn't see the need or any benefit whatsoever for multiple driveways. And again, the service nature is, I call it a slow but steady use.
This isn't really a traffic question, but you're proposing a new office building. Is the existing office building fully occupied? You know?
I do not know the answer to that question. We will certainly get that for you.
Other questions? No, we're good.
Good. Okay. Thank you for your time tonight.
All right, thank you.
In line with getting you information about the occupancy of the current building, does the board want the actual calculations for impervious coverage? I think you wanted your engineer to review and...
Well, I think there were calculations on the plan.
That's sufficient. Okay.
Yeah,
we don't need to do that. Okay. I think this would be a good time to stop because
probably right.
The planner is going to take a lot longer than I think her hands can possibly last.
Oh, no, she can do it.
That's all right by you. I have pity on this woman. I've been watching her.
Okay.
That's fine by us.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So we need to look at the calendar.
Okay, what do you have? What do you have next place? Oh, okay. Okay. So let's continue the hearing on this application to the board's...
Wait, no, I'm sorry. I do have one.
Who is it, Denise?
Residential variance. So that can go first, and then the rest of the meeting, because there's no other applications complete. So let's continue the hearing on this application to the board's April 4th Monday in the month.
22nd?
Yeah, 22nd.
22nd.
April 22nd meeting.
Yes.
And just in case that residential one goes off, you should be here at 7 p.m. ready to go. And no need for further notice.
Thank you very much.
Before we break, does the board members have any questions that they'd like the applicant to come back and address?
Right. In other words, what do you want to do with anything about what they call the variance plan? Do you want to see what a compliant plan would look like or not?
Yeah, but before I actually say anything else, I have a question for you. Pretending that we're not applying any conditions to the D variance, which I know is not reality, once we, even though it's bifurcated and it has a site plan pending, if we approve the D variance now for the purposes of the site plan, it's effectively a permitted use.
That's correct.
Okay. Then I'd like to see, I guess, what conditions you're comfortable imposing if you're not willing to do a full site plan right now, that would kind of confine the D variance to what it actually is going to look like on the property. Because otherwise, we can talk about this plan right now, but without an actual commitment to the plan, you can come back and say, well, STS made us an offer and we're putting in a super tire emporium. The entire property is now going to be a tire center. And, oh, by the way, now it's permitted because we've issued the D variance. So that's where my thinking is going. I mean, if you don't want to do a full site plan, I don't personally have a problem. I can't speak for the rest of the board, but I'd like to at least know what we're confining this variance to.
Why don't you poll people on what sort of information about the eventual site plan people want to see, if any?
Okay, just before I get to that, would you be satisfied with a list of variance or design waivers? Would that be part of it?
I think that'd be fine. Yeah. And I guess the total amount of the lot that's being used, because, you know, right now they're showing a building. I imagine the building might grow or shrink a little bit, but I can't imagine that they really do want to, you know, ultimately come back with a completely different plan eventually.
Right, but who knows?
Right. So, you know, some sort of geometry of what the building size will be.
Okay. Nobody's listening here, huh?
Of course, that's just me. I mean, I don't know about the rest of the...
Did you hear that, sir?
I'm sorry.
Mr. Pfeffer was talking about getting some parameters from you when you come back next time on sort of the upper limits or constraints on particularly the non-permitted use. And it'd be helpful if you had some discussion on if you can provide a compliant design, that would be great. And if you can't, how many or to what extent are you looking for variances?
Yeah.
And if it's one or two things, that's one discussion. But if you come back with a list of 30 things you need, that's a different discussion. It would be helpful to understand what's the order of magnitude here. Anano, is anyone else looking for anything?
You hit it.
Yeah. I think there's enough information also that Tom can look at it and do his typical like interpretation of design exceptions that would be needed from the perspective of like the campus corridor.
We'll review the plan.
Okay.
Now, one other thing. So Kathy needs to see that septic information.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to like reproduce that exhibit. I think it's A2. And you got to submit it to the board engineering expert, and you might as well make extra copies, get it into the board file, and get it to Tom and I.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other thing, I believe, probably the most efficient way, we asked Kathy not to come to try to keep your escrow.
We appreciate you
that. But I don't know if it would have been cheaper or not, because I'm thinking that you should probably order a transcript to get to Kathy, just so she could see what the testimony was if she wants to say anything about it. Unless the board is not...
I don't know if she can...
Maybe she can just do it off of the exhibit with the septic.
Off of what they're going to submit, because they're going to submit detail right through the...
Yes.
Yeah, I think that one.
All right.
I think a picture is worth 1,000 words in that case.
Okay.
The only
other thing, Jess was saying that, you know, the existing septic system has been there for 30 years. Whatever you might base your design on, Tom, whether it be soil conservation district, you know, the typical soils or any area, this is in a limestone area. So those things should be taken into consideration.
And just so you know, there have been other applicants that have come in and have said, oh, you know, we'll do this test later. When you're in a limestone area, I can think of two applications where the condition on this part of the site was different than that one, and they went a long way down the road and then unfortunately found that out. But that's not a requirement. That's just the applicant might very well want to do perk tests where those two septic things are shown. You guys have anything else you want to tell him?
Tell him if you want to hear about that.
If you have anything else you want to get an answer to or see, tell them now.
I think they have a little bit of time. They might research. How many other repair shops, tire repair, automobile shops within a 2-mile radius of this site? I'd like to know that. We have some that are very close.
And Kathy asked me to ask a question. Which was, when you come back, maybe they can submit answers to these questions before the hearing so you guys can have it beforehand,
mm-hmm.
especially if you want us to keep Kathy, you know, out of the room so she doesn't add to your escrow fees. What is the percentage of vacant office space in the Route 31 corridor?
Oh.
Anyone have any other questions or requests for information? Okay, so seeing none, we already made the announcement. We'll see you next month.
All right, thank you.
Okay, anything else for the good of the cause? Motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second over here.
All in favor?
I'm sorry.
One of us was.